live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this third day of September 2026. Before I introduce to you my first-time guest and his topic of the day, I have an exciting announcement to make. And I hope that you mark this on your calendar. Tomorrow, that's Friday, September 4th, on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I am going to have as my guests Virgil Walker, who served as the Vice President of Ministry Relations at G3 Ministries. He is going to be on the program with another very dear friend of mine, Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries. And they're both going to be addressing the fall of G3 Ministries and how the largest Reformed Baptist conference ministry in the United States collapsed, and lessons, valuable lessons we can learn from the demise of this very once important ministry. So I hope that you mark that on your calendar to tune in tomorrow, as always, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to hear Virgil Walker and Justin Peters on the demise of G3 Ministries. But today, I'm excited to have a first-time guest on the program. Had the privilege of meeting this young brother at one of my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio pastor's luncheons. He is Heath Shaner, Director of Evangelism Ministries at Cornerstone Bible Church in Dover, Pennsylvania, and team member of Hearts for the Lost Ministries, alongside my other dear friend, Brian Nind. And today, Heath is going to be addressing evangelism and its vital connection to the local church, a warning to and against rogue, unchurched evangelists. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Heath Shaner.
Thank you, Mr. Arnson. Thanks for having me on and just for your faithfulness throughout the years on air.
Well, thank you. Well, before we have you do something that we always have first-time guests do, which is give your summary of your salvation testimony, tell our listeners something about Cornerstone Bible Church in Dover, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we are a Bible expositing, Bible preaching church here just northwest of York, Pennsylvania. I have the privilege to sit under our senior pastor, Matthew Sandorfi, who has been here for 10 years, faithfully expositing God's word. So if you're looking for a Reformed Bible-believing church in the York County area, we'd love to have you any Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Great. Well, the website is cbcdoverpa.org, cbcdoverpa.org. cornerstonebiblechurch.org, and that's for Cornerstone Bible Church in Dover, Pennsylvania. Now tell us something about Hearts for the Lost Ministries.
Yeah, the goal of Hearts for the Lost Ministries is essentially to equip Christians around the world to share their faith where God has placed them. And originally, it started off as a conference ministry, in which it still is, where we will go to any church in the country for free and share biblical evangelism. But in the last few years, we've shifted to an even greater focus on how to specifically train elders and pastors for the purpose of building ministry teams that can then go out and share their faith in the community that God sovereignly places them.
Great. And the website for Hearts for the Lost Ministries is heartsforthelost.com, heartsforthelost.com. Well, as I already hinted, whenever we have a first-time guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which you were raised, if any, and the kinds of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. So let's hear your story.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Arnson. So I grew up in central Indiana, and I always believed fundamentally that God had existed, as Romans chapter 1 tells of all of humanity. And yet I was not raised in a church context where I was hearing the gospel faithfully preached each week. It wasn't until I was around the age of 12 that we had a death in the family, and I started to really consider, what does it mean if God does exist? Like, where would I spend eternity? That was a question that was always on my mind. And I started attending a fairly large church in the central Indiana area that was not focused on the gospel. It would have been kind of a byproduct to the emergent church movement, and was very focused on, truthfully, all the wrong things. And I professed faith in Christ. I prayed the sinner's prayer as I was led by one of the leaders at that church. And yet I was a false convert. My life did not demonstrate the fruit of saving faith. And fundamentally, I believed that in my own goodness, I could save myself. I believed, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm not as bad as the person on the news or someone I go to school with. But in reality, I was still dead in my sin. Upon entering high school, I struggled with assurance as I read the Bible and yet continued to attend this church, because ultimately I was placing my faith in myself and not in Christ. And in high school, in God's providence, I met a gentleman. His name is Christopher, and he was a Bible-believing Christian and attended a Bible-preaching church in our area, Cornerstone Bible Church in Westfield, Indiana, where our friend and brother Brian Nine is an elder. And he led me to that church out of this mega church, seeker-sensitive church. And after about 2 to 3 years of attending there faithfully, I heard the gospel truly, and it pierced my heart. It wasn't just something I heard in word, but it was something that transformed my heart. And my youth pastor at the time was preaching on 2 Corinthians 5:20 and the call to be reconciled to God on Christ's behalf. And that Jesus did not call the righteous, those who think they're good, but sinners to repentance. And that he is the one who loved himself and gave himself for his people.
Amen. Amen. So how did you come to discover Hearts for the Lost?
Yeah, great question. So after becoming a Christian, God placed me around godly men within Cornerstone. And Brian Nine was actually one of those men. And we met at a Wednesday theology group back at the church. We would go through a systematic theology each year. And Brian had an interest in apologetics, and I had just become reformed in my soteriology and was listening to a lot of James White, R.C. Sproul, and Dr. John MacArthur. And so through our interest in Reformed theology and evangelism. Brian and I connected, and he started discipling me. We'd actually meet. We met every Thursday for 2 years in Panera, and he graciously walked me through the book of Titus, and he's an example to me of what it looks like to be a godly man. And through that, we had many opportunities to go share our faith in the community with various groups, Hebrew Israelites, Roman Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses, Latter-day Saints, etc.
Well, praise God. And I thank God truly from the depths of my heart for Hearts for the Lost Ministries. A number of months ago, I was beginning to disobey Christ by being anxious for the horrible financial situation I found myself in. And without provocation from me, I got a call from the aforementioned Brian Nine. And he said that, or he reminded me that we met at a G3 conference a number of years ago. And I interviewed him there on the site of G3. And he said that he wanted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for a year, which he has done. And that was certainly a gift-wrapped present from God. It was just the timing couldn't have been better. God's timing is always perfect. And that sponsorship rescued me out of a very serious, scary financial pit. But I will never be able to thank Brian and Hearts for the Lost Ministries enough for that gracious gift and sponsorship. And I hope that we have a relationship in the labor field of Christ for many years to come. Well, I think you've chosen a very excellent and controversial theme today: evangelism and its vital connection to the local church, a warning to and against rogue, unchurched evangelists. And these folks abound, perhaps even more so, or at least they've revealed themselves in greater numbers, with the dawn of the internet and the podcast explosion especially, which had occurred primarily during the COVID crisis, where a lot of people were locked in their homes and began to explore hosting their own podcasts. And now, for better or for worse, because there are a number of excellent podcasts out there that the Lord providentially has given birth to because of that COVID crisis. But there are numerous lone wolves, people who have no accountability to any body of elders at any local church, who are setting themselves up as teachers and preachers and evangelists. And this is something that you, obviously from our theme, you oppose very greatly. Why don't you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so I was blessed in God's providence to grow up around godly men who were either training to be elders or were elders themselves, who placed a great emphasis on the authority of God's word when it comes to our ecclesiology and how we view the local church. And specifically in evangelism, this was played out as our church continued to grow through COVID, and we had an evangelism team that was started, a group of men that would hold one another accountable through prayer and accountability. And there was never a time where we would go out solely by ourselves. Yet we went out as a group and as a team. And Mr. Orson, the reason this is such on my heart is because I'm a part of Gen Z. And especially as you mentioned, during that COVID crisis, we saw the rise of many podcasters and YouTube teachers, even those that are my age and younger. And in that, most of these men believe that church is just something that we can hold to one day and we can change the next. And there's no need for accountability. Church membership, church government is not something that's usually thought of. And specifically in evangelism, I think this has played out where men spend so much time focusing solely on doing evangelism and countering the cult, which I'm totally for, that they negate the other means of the Christian life in which we are called to serve and follow the commands of Scripture.
Amen. And I'm assuming that one of the key verses in the Scriptures that you are grounding your commitment to this concept of all evangelists having a connection to a biblically sound local church. I'm assuming that one of these verses is Hebrews 13:17, which says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they may do this with joy, not groaning, for this would be unhelpful for you." And although we can learn from gifted teachers that are not our own elders, you know, there are many authors that I have learned greatly by their words, and there are radio and television evangelists who are sound in the sea of heresy. And there are conferences I've attended and learned greatly from men who don't know me at all. But we have to submit ourselves to men who have been appointed to God to watch over our souls. And these men who we don't know, who we learn from, they are not going to give an account for having oversight over us. And therefore, it is dangerous to seek guidance and wisdom from people that refuse to submit to this very clear biblical command, is it not, that we have to obey our leaders and submit to them?
Yeah, I completely agree. Another passage that I thought of while you were speaking was Acts 14:33, when Luke writes that when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed themselves to the Lord in whom they believed. So even in the early church, there's this expectation of the role of elders within the local church. And then the outflow of that, as you mentioned in Hebrews 13, being that the church, and specifically, and more importantly, even those that claim to be leaders and teachers and evangelists in the church, are submitting to elders, and that their gifts are being monitored and watched by the elders. And I think what you find a lot in evangelism, unfortunately, are guys that don't like the local church. They've gotten run out of local churches, and they seek to set up ministries for themselves where they don't have an authority over them that, as you said, will keep watch over their souls.
Amen. And so tell us exactly how you function as director of evangelism ministries at Cornerstone Bible Church in Dover, Pennsylvania, because that may lead us to discover a lot of key areas that we are going to be grappling with today.
So I had the privilege in God's providence to connect with the elders out here, and they were looking for someone to fulfill a role where they could oversee both the evangelism ministry as well as the student ministry and the teaching and preaching ministry, kind of as the underbelly of that. If I'm being straightforward, it's essentially a pastoral training role where I work full-time at the church under the authority of the elders and have the privilege to grow in teaching and preaching. I'm teaching through the book of Hebrews, every so often on Sunday mornings, and then I teach the Sunday school as well on the attributes of God, along with the Wednesday nights and the evangelism outreaches. But the importance of it and the emphasis in that is that I'm able to do evangelism, and specifically even with Hearts for the Lost, do evangelism under the authority of the godly men here. And so even too, when we go out and witness, when we're sharing our faith, we are pointing people not only to Christ to repent and believe in the gospel, but also to a local church where if they do, in God's providence, place their faith in Christ, they have a place where they're able to grow and to feed upon the word of God.
Yeah, that key element that you just mentioned is one of the tragedies of the Billy Graham Crusades. They forbid their counselors, as they called them. Counselors were volunteers who waited up front by the, for lack of a better term, stage, for people to, or for people who, I should say, were coming forward at the invitation of Billy Graham to pray with them and have them confess their sin and their need for a savior. And these people were forbid to recommend churches to any of these people that came forward. And even more disturbing, they were told to send them back to the churches and even non-Christian religions from which they came, which is pure insanity. I mean, there may be a very good reason why a person is coming forward at such a crusade to receive salvation. It may have been because the true gospel was never declared at the places where they were from. So that was one of the major reasons. There were others, Billy Graham's rampant ecumenism with unbelievers and other things, but one of the main reasons that my church, where I was a member at the time when the Billy Graham Crusade was in the New York area, when I lived in New York, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick was my church. We never supported the Billy Graham Crusades, never promoted them, never encouraged people to go to them, and even warned about them because of that very reason. But that is something that is very absent, glaringly absent, for much of the evangelism of the 21st century, is it not?
Yeah, and you even mentioned earlier the online sphere of podcasting and YouTube, and I think it's important as well in our apologetics. And we've seen over, and Dr. White's, James White's spoken on this before too, but we've seen this shift where there was this trend in the 2010s where apologetics was just, oh, you can be a Christian if you just believe in Jesus, where we don't find justification, where we just equate the gospel to defending the resurrection and the existence of God. Whereas the apostles and Jesus and the writers of the New Testament were very clear that our apologetics and our evangelism are rooted in the biblical gospel. And so we must remind and consider the claims of Christ that we're justified solely by the doing and dying of Christ, him taking our filthy garments, as Isaiah describes, and clothing us with the garments of salvation, as we see in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve sinned against God. And God provides them the garments of the animal skin. So he provides all who trust in him the garment of salvation, which is the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And when we fail to see that in our evangelism and our apologetics, and we dumb it down and become ecumenist in our evangelism, you're doing a disservice not only to the church, but also against the authority of God's word.
Amen. Since you mentioned my longtime friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, it reminded me of when he told me that over the decades when they have been involved, when I say they, I mean Alpha and Omega Ministries, has been involved in outdoor evangelism, especially toward the Mormons. They would gather at major Mormon events, both in Arizona and in Salt Lake City, Utah. And they were often approached by individuals who would say to James, "I love your ministry, love your books, love hearing you preach, etc. Can I assist you in passing out tracts?" And James said he would always immediately ask the person, to what church do you belong? And very often these individuals would say, "Oh, I'm not a member of any church." And James would say, "Well, I'm sorry, but I do not join arms with individuals who are not a member of a biblically faithful local church, even just to do something as simple as passing out tracts." So if you get grounded in a biblically faithful local church, as the scriptures command that you do, feel free to approach me next time you're in an area where we're doing evangelistic efforts, and I will welcome you with open arms to assist us. Many people would not do that. They wouldn't even be really concerned about the church where the person might be a member, or if they were a member at all of a church.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Even too, in that, there's, I think, of the call of Titus, where even in our evangelism, whether it be our evangelism, the preaching of God's word, that there's that element of discipleship when going out and sharing our faith. And if those who we are discipling or being discipled by or desiring to be discipled by are not members of a local church, then how can they be those that are sound in faith, love, steadfastness, if they aren't heeding the command of God's word to gather with the brethren?
Amen. And we are going to be going into our first commercial break right now. If you have a question of your own, please submit it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. You may remain anonymous if you're asking about a personal and private matter. Perhaps you're not even a believer yet, but you believe the Lord may be drawing you to explore the Christian faith, to learn more about what the scriptures teach about God, about Christ, about the Trinity, about salvation. But you're not quite ready to identify yourself publicly because you're not quite there yet. Perhaps you are a Jewish listener or a Muslim listener or just a person from an atheist home. It could be a whole spectrum of things. Well, we will respect your request to remain anonymous, but if you're asking a general question, please give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. But please don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word. for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsforthelost.com. That's heartsforthelost.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, this is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And my guest today is Heath Shaner, Director of Evangelism Ministries at Cornerstone Bible Church in Dover, Pennsylvania, and team member of Hearts for the Lost Ministries. And we are addressing evangelism and its vital connection to the local church, a warning to and against rogue unchurched evangelists. And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Before I go to any listener questions, I think it would be wise for you to provide for us a definition of evangelism, because although there is one gospel message and there is only one true God, which has existed in three co-equal, co-eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there are different forms of evangelism. For instance, there are the kinds of evangelism that are conducted only by pastors and elders, very often from pulpits, or even in open-air evangelism through the approval of the local church. But there is also a very large and true sense where every single Christian, a man, woman, and young person, is commanded to be an evangelist in that they are to unashamedly declare the good news of the gospel whenever they have the opportunity, to strangers, to acquaintances, to family, friends, and loved ones. So there are different forms of evangelism. So if maybe you want to set some definitions.
I'd say generally that evangelism is fundamentally the proclaiming of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. The pastor is an evangelist on Sunday mornings when he opens up God's word and proclaims it verse by verse. The Christian can be an evangelist if they hand out a gospel tract at a restaurant or at a gas station. A student could be an evangelist if they seek to share the hope that they have within them to those on their sports teams. So from a broad perspective, without going into the specifics of how it can be played out, evangelism is ultimately the proclaiming of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter the form or the method or the scriptural passage that is used.
Okay, we actually have a question from our mutual friend and your colleague at Hearts for the Lost Ministries, Brian Nind, president of Hearts for the Lost. He says, hello, Brother Chris. Looking forward to seeing you at the October 1st luncheon again. Praise God. I'm so glad to get that confirmation that Brian intends to be there, and I hope you are as well, Keith. He says, here's his question. What are the main differences and challenges of leading evangelism outreach activity in a small town versus a large town?
Yeah, that's a great question. First, I'm also very excited about the luncheon here coming up in October, and will, Lord willing, be there as well. But when considering the connection between and challenges and differences between large town and small town evangelism, the church I was discipled in and ministered in was in a town that was 20 minutes from Indianapolis. So we had LDS churches in various different places where each Saturday we could go out and witness and run into all kinds of various groups of people. And on one hand, it was very easy because there was always somebody available to talk to. Whereas in a smaller environment, you have to be more creative in the means in which you seek to go do street ministry or to do just evangelism in general. That can apply to open air preaching. It can apply to sharing your faith in the park or going to different events in your community. I think the biggest challenge in doing small town evangelism, truthfully, is just heeding the call of scripture that God is the one that brings the fruit. I think the temptation is in a bigger city that you can look and rely on numbers or, okay, I talked to this many people today, or this person was really interested in sharing or hearing about the gospel. Whereas I think the command of scripture is that we're to just go out and be obedient to Christ, regardless if anyone hears, regardless if there's anyone that either comes to know the Lord, or even if no one hears, we're still being faithful to what God commands us to do, which is to go into all nations and proclaim the gospel.
Amen, amen, amen. And the answer that you gave to Brian, and by the way, Brian, I'm looking forward to seeing you October 1st. The answer you gave is very connected to another listener question. We have David in Fort Worth, Texas. And David asks, do you have any suggestions and counsel to people involved in open-air evangelism not to be overly discouraged when they see what appears to be little fruit from their evangelistic efforts? So what you just said is a part of that, but if you could respond to David.
Yeah, that's a great question, David. And it's so hard when, whether it be open air evangelism or just even proclaiming the gospel in general, whether even with family too. It's so hard when you don't see fruit, when you don't see the evidences of God working in the efforts that you labor faithfully in. And yet my encouragement is that, especially coming from the Reformed persuasion of salvation, that we are simply called just to be messengers of the gospel. We are just called to share Christ. And we trust God with the fruit. It's no different than preaching or any other various ministry within the local church. Evangelism is no different. We trust God that if we are just faithful to what His Word says, that He is always going to be receiving glory, regardless of what the results are.
Yes, and being a Reformed Christian, I'm not trying to be sectarian here, but there is so much truth in the fact that the doctrines of sovereign grace remind us that we cannot, in our strength and power and ability, open the eyes of the blind and give new hearts to the lost. Those are things only God can do, but He does command us to declare the truth of His gospel. And it really reminds me of the parable of the sower. It's also been called the parable of the soils, that we see in Matthew 13 and Mark 4 and Luke 8. And the outcome of the seeds being planted and watered, only God gives the increase. And it is evident that the different results of the seeds being planted and watered, some, you know, springing up right away, but then withering and dying and so on, are just so reflective of the mission field. And when I say mission field, that could be your own neighborhood. We are not to be overwhelmed with depression and beating ourselves up if we're being faithful to declare the truth. We have to realize not everyone is of God's elect, and we are supposed to be declaring the gospel to everyone, because we don't know who the elect are. And as Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, and I may be misremembering exactly how he said it, but it was something to the effect of, even if God had painted a yellow stripe on the backs of all of his elect, he would still preach to everyone that did not have a yellow stripe on his back. And only really the doctrines of sovereign grace can give perseverance and encouragement to people in their evangelism. Because if you really think it's up to your abilities, skill, your articulateness, your vast knowledge of theology, all of those things, if you think that that is really what is going to determine the eternal lives of the hearers of the gospel message, you're going to be disappointed over and over and over again. Or you're going to lower the bar about what is actually to be deemed as a genuine conversion, as many multitudes of professing Christians do. Just, they will claim as a convert someone who merely repeats what you're telling them to say in a prayer, and they will declare that person to have eternal life. So we have to really have the truth behind us when we are evangelizing and declaring Christ. And perhaps you even have some anecdotes or some stories of accounts that you have had experienced personally in your evangelistic efforts that you can share with us.
Yeah, I do. But piggybacking off what you said in the parable of the sowers, you see, even within the Old Testament, whether it be God speaking through the prophets and the people not listening to the prophets, and they're continually proclaiming God's word. You see that with Isaiah and Habakkuk and others. But you also even see that in the New Testament too, right? Where the apostles are fundamentally, they're martyred for their faith at the end of the day. So it wasn't even just the people didn't listen to them. The people wanted to kill them. and in most cases did just that. And so it comes down to ultimately trusting the Lord. For me personally, there's been, I could give lots of stories of means in which God's grace has been shown in the lives of others. I'm a testament to that. I was one that was a false convert, believed that it was by a prayer that I prayed, and yet God was still faithful to bring those around me, who at times I'm sure were very discouraged, and they continually proclaimed and pleaded with me to trust in Christ and in Christ alone, and to be a child of God by being reconciled to Him. And so throughout all of Scripture, we see this. Another example in my own life was, there was a gentleman who was a part of a non-Christian group that was very prominent in the 2010s, mid-2010s. And it was based off this YouTuber, and he was very involved in this group. And we plead with him to turn, to trust in Christ alone, to not trust in his own works. And finally one day he called and said, "You know, brother, I see it now. I'm going to trust in Christ and in Christ alone." It'd be easy for me or for us as Christians to be discouraged with the fruit. And yet, as you said, brother, and as I said earlier, you can trust the Lord that his sheep will hear his voice. And if we just faithfully proclaim him, we are being obedient to his word.
Amen. And to show you how the Lord in his sovereignty uses the foolishness of men to bring out, to accomplish the salvation of his elect. I can remember years ago when my late wife, Julie, asked me to get some volunteers from the church where we were members to help a friend of hers who was not a Christian move the furniture out of her apartment because she was being evicted. And so I got some friends of mine from church to assist me. And we went to this woman's apartment, and one of the brethren that came with me, Bill Holfacker, who is now in heaven, but Bill approached this woman. As soon as he walked through her door, he said to her, "Hi, my name's Bill. Do you know where you would spend eternity if you were to die tonight?" And this woman was freaked out. She pulled me aside and she said, "What did you do? Invite a serial killer into my home? Who the heck is this guy?" And I pulled Bill aside. I said, "Bill, how do you expect the Lord to bless that kind of evangelistic effort? You've scared the living daylights out of this woman. Don't you think you should kind of work your way up to a question like that and ask her who she is, how she's doing, and, you know, demonstrate concern for her in her life rather than immediately asking her where she goes, she dies tonight?" And years later, after that occurred, I'm in a restaurant and I hear from behind me two familiar voices having a conversation. And I turn around and it's that woman having dinner with a gentleman who I knew to be a Christian that I had met at a Bible study on a number of occasions. And I said, "Wow, what providence that I see you two here today." And I said, "Just out of curiosity, why are you two having dinner together?" And the woman told me, "Well, we're engaged." And I said, "You're kidding me." And I said, "Well, I know that this brother here is a Christian." She says, "Yes, I'm a Christian too. We met on a Christian dating site on the internet. And I said, you are a Christian. You got to tell me about that. And she said, remember that guy who helped you move my furniture, who asked me where I would be for eternity if I died that night? That question haunted me for a long time. And then finally, I cried out to the Lord for salvation. So here you had the Lord blessing, I think, a very wrong approach to evangelism. He used the foolishness of that approach, and yet he penetrated that woman's heart of stone, gave her a heart of flesh, and saved her. But anyway, that was just one idea of how, or one example, I should say, of how our efforts, although we are commanded to put effort into evangelism and obeying the Great Commission and so on, our efforts are not what, when all is said and done, bear the fruit of those proclamations of the gospel. And do you have any things, occasions that you could think of that surprised you in either direction?
Yeah, I think first I'm reminded of J.I. Packer, who in his book Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God said that the prayer of a Christian is not an attempt to force God's hand, but acknowledgement of helplessness and dependence. And he says later in the book that our speculations are not the measure of our God. We can't judge God based on the fruit that we see if it's not going the way we desire it to go. But there are many instances, Brian would certainly attest to this, where God uses our infallible, or our fallible means, rather, to accomplish his infallible means. I had a friend in college who was a Roman Catholic and was advocating, obviously, that they were saved not solely by the work of Christ alone. And I wrongly sought to focus on other areas that were not the gospel. And I feel like it kind of caused a little bit of a lack of clarity early on. And then finally we got to the point where I just went back to the basics. As I know Brian perhaps said on your last, the last episode you had him on, where we need to get back to the basics of the gospel and explain simply that what happened on the cross, and by doing so, God will save his people. And I can say in God's sovereign grace that that friend of mine later did accept Jesus alone as his savior and renounced the doctrines of Roman Catholicism and is now studying to go into ministry himself. And so what I did was I was early on relying on my own abilities to debate and persuade. And yet that's ultimately not what saves. It's the gospel. It's the proclaiming of Christ crucified. Not that these other things are inherently wrong when they're done pointing back to scripture, but the main primary goal that we need to show people is that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that Jesus came to earth, paid the sin debt that we owe, so that we can be saved by his work on our behalf.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. If anybody has a question for Heath Shaner on evangelism, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Please only remain anonymous. If your question involves a personal and private matter, don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast.
I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsfortheloss.com. That's heartsfortheloss.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide financial support for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every single month without fail, on top of that, they give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio the mind-blowing bonus of 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners simply by those listeners mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. So whether you are purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether you are purchasing jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, or like turning your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, your business logo, or anything else you can conjure up in your imagination, and turning it into a physical piece of jewelry like a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else your mind can comprehend, they will take what's in your mind and turn it into a mind-blowing piece of jewelry that I'm sure you will discover to be stunning and breathtaking and dazzling and head-turning. And I have seen firsthand the absolute mastery that RoyalDiadem.com has over customizing jewelry. So please, if you are in the market for jewelry, whether a gift for someone or just for yourself, please, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, purchase your jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. And also, if you do purchase your jewelry from royaldiadem.com, please let us know here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio all about your experience and how much you love the jewelry you purchased. That's royaldiadem.com. Mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Heath Shaner of Hearts for the Lost Ministries, I do have some important reminders for our listeners. If you really love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, please go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your local post office to a physical mailing address, well, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at IronSharpensIronRadio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, like heartsforthelost.com does, whether it is your church, your parachurch ministry, your private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, a business of any kind, or a special event that you are promoting, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And with all this urgent pleading of mine for you to help us financially, I never want anybody in the Iron Sharpens Iron Rodeo audience. Did I say rodeo? Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience. I never want anybody in my audience to give your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day because you want to bless us financially. And if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with a financial gift. But having said that, if you do love the show and you want it to remain in existence and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money if you really love the show and want us to continue to exist. Go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Cornerstone Bible Church in Dover, Pennsylvania, I have helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience spanning the entire globe find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes just minutes from where they live, and I may be able to help you too. I have helped people in the Netherlands find churches. I have helped people on the African continent find churches. I have helped people in the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland and in the West Indies and in Mexico and in Germany. And I could go on and on with the number of places on the planet where I've helped people in our audience find biblically faithful churches. Australia is another one. I've helped several people in Australia find biblically faithful churches. And I know at least two of them joined the church in Perth, Australia, that I recommended to them. Well, please, it doesn't matter where you live on the planet, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful church home and you desire to join one, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Heath Shaner of heartsforthelost.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. And we have, it's either Cecil or Cecil, I've heard it pronounced both ways, who is visiting a friend in Pine Ridge, South Carolina. And Cecil or Cecil says, "What do you make of the old saying that I have had repeated to me on many occasions, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words?" If you listened to my program long enough, at least on several occasions, you have heard me state emphatically how much I hate that saying. It has been attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, but apparently there's no historical evidence that he really ever said that or wrote that. In my opinion, that philosophy is utilized by people who are afraid to hurt the feelings of others by insisting that they repent and embrace Christ as their only hope of salvation. Because if Christ's disciples followed that philosophy, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words, none of them would have been martyred. And even Jesus Christ himself, were it not for the foreordination of his death by the Father, even he wouldn't have been executed if he was only doing good things and not specifically saying words that offended his enemies. But what do you have to say about that, Heath?
Yeah, I am with you. I'm not a huge fan of that statement. I think you were spot on in all your points. And to add and build on that, I believe it also leads to moralism, because people will take Christianity and say, oh, well, I just need to not do these actions that Christians don't like. And they believe that that is the gospel. And the gospel becomes more, I need to just be a better person and get my life in order, as they look to those that are Christians in their life and they see the way that they live. And yet there's not, as you said, the call to not only trust in Christ, but too, it actually presents us a false gospel, a gospel of moralism, where those around us, without having the clarity of who Christ is, will see us and in turn say, oh, I can be a Christian if I just stop living a certain way, or if I just don't cuss around my friends. And all that's obviously great, and God's word would cause us to be those that are peaceable with outsiders and to show and demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. But it is not fundamentally in that that saves us from our sins, like you said, brother. And if that was how the apostles and the disciples and Jesus were to live, they would have never been martyred.
Now, of course, I guess I don't know if the intention of that saying was to in some way teach the truth in James chapter 2, 14 through 26, where we read, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him?" And of course, the answer to that question, which was a rhetorical question, is no. If a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. And of course, Roman Catholics twist this to, and also Eastern Orthodox and the cults use this text and twist it to a false meaning that works of our own cooperate with faith in order to justify us before God. That is a damning lie from the pit of hell. It is just saying that faith, exactly what James said, faith without works is dead. If it has no works attached to it as a fruit, then there is no evidence that the faith is real. That's all James is saying. And my former pastor used to say that James must have been from Missouri, because Missouri is the show me state. And of course, he didn't really believe that. He was using that as a tongue-in-cheek comment. But being the show me state, well, you say you believe in God, show me. You say you believe in the gospel, show me. You know, that's all that he meant by that. But even if that's what the inventor of that saying meant by that, it was poorly said, because proclaiming the truth is not to be the last resort in evangelism, right?
Amen, brother. Yes, and this is why I think it's so important that evangelism must be taught, is it not only gets people back to the basics of, okay, how do I lovingly and graciously and truthfully share my faith, but it also helps clear up some of these well-intentioned and yet maybe not so clear sayings that have been popularized in the sphere of questioning how do we share our faith as believers speak.
Why don't you provide for us, because I think that that question leads us to, I think, an excellent follow-up question. And can you please provide for us what you believe are the necessary elements of true evangelism? What must be included and what must not be left out?
Yeah, I think that first and foremost, we must start with the holiness of God. As Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 6, he sees God holy and on the throne, and he says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips amongst the people of unclean lips. And that is echoed in the New Testament, where we read that we are not holy as God is holy, and that we've all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because he is holy and we are not holy, we cannot stand before God on our own, because, as you know, brother, Scripture tells us that the wages of our sins death, and that we will all die. It's appointed for man once to die and then face judgment. And many will question where they will spend eternity. There have been those that have tried to prolong their lives by various means, and yet we will all die one day and stand before God. So the first two elements of evangelism would be, first, the character of God and his holiness, and secondly, that we are sinful and we are in need of a savior. The third element that I'd share is that God's word has told us that we have a savior in Jesus Christ. As I said earlier in the program, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save his people from their sins, and that he paid the debt that we owe, and that we can be reconciled. The verse that transformed my life, that we can be reconciled to God on Christ's behalf, and that he, Jesus Christ, became sin on our behalf, that through him we can become the righteousness of God. So by trusting in Jesus alone, we can be saved. So you see, first, in evangelism, we need to show God's character. We need to show that we are sinners. We need to show that Jesus alone saved us from our sins. And it's not Jesus did 99% of the work and I had to do my 1% of the work. Because Jesus declared in John chapter 19, he said, it is finished. And he's done the work for us. And the fruit of saving faith, as we were speaking of, the result of a changed life, isn't merely, oh, I believe that Jesus existed and therefore I'm a Christian. It's trusting solely in him. And that's evidenced in the gathering and the joining of God's people in a local church and growing in the fruit of the Spirit, growing in our walk with the Lord. And this is done through, as James says in James 2, those good works, in which he's also, by the way, speaking to other believers in that passage. And that'd be the core elements of the gospel.
Would it not be also very important that we include what people are saved from? Because very often I have heard Christians involved in evangelism, they will shout out at people, Christianese, and I don't mean to belittle some of these statements that have become Christianese, because some of them are biblical, like you must be born again and so on. But if we don't even explain what that means and what we are being saved from, instead of just shouting at people, are you saved? You got to be saved. Saved from what? You know, isn't that an important element?
Yeah, I agree with that, brother. And again, that gets back to even in Hearts for the Lost, we see this a lot in going to different churches. And one of the things we'll do is ask everyone there to write the gospel on a piece of paper and to explain it. And I think there's some of us who get overly complex in the minor details of the gospel, and there's others that don't give enough detail on what the gospel actually is. And so I think you're right on. We need to explain very clearly to people the what we are saved from, who we are saved by. And I think God's word provides us many different means by which we can do that. But it's fundamentally showing that we have sinned against God and we must be saved from the judgment that we all deserve, that was laid upon Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, who loved, as Paul said, who loved him and gave himself for his people.
Hallelujah. Let's see here. We do have Ward in Colonial Park, Pennsylvania. And Ward says, must we not be very careful that we do not present the gospel in such a manner that conveys the idea wrongly that we think we are better to those to whom we are evangelizing? Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, because that very often is the case, where we do not present the gospel. And I can't remember exactly how R.C. Sproul said it. R.C. Sproul was quoting someone else, and I don't think he identified in this specific quote who he was quoting. But the quotation was something to the effect, we are merely beggars telling other beggars where to find the food. And we have to, I think our listener is spot on. When we evangelize, we can't come off like we think we are somehow innately morally superior. I can remember one of my older brothers having arguments with me during my efforts to evangelize him, and he would constantly repeat to me over and over again, you think you're better than me. And I would always remind him, no, I don't think I'm better than you. I think I'm the only one out of the two of us who realizes how bad I am and how much I need a savior. I don't think I'm better than you at all. But anyway, I think that Christians very often can come off like that. A perfect example, now this would be an exaggerated example, and I don't even have confidence that these people are truly Christian, but the notorious Westboro Baptist Church of God Hates Fags fame, that their approach is to scream and picket and yell to people how much God hates them. And sometimes they do it with an abundance of glee and joy and happiness, telling people that they're going to hell. And they're coming across like they think that they're somehow superior. But anyway, go ahead if you could respond to that.
Yeah, well, I think the Westboro Baptist Church and any other group that would be of similar idea would just be modern-day Pharisees that are like those of Luke 18, who Jesus describes, where they're praising and believing that they are somehow right with God by thanking God that they are not like others, and yet that they are somehow unique. And Scripture and even our Lord in Luke 18 words against that. But also, too, that I think of it just shows the importance of why we need to always proclaim the gospel to ourselves each day. I think of Jerry Bridges, who says that our worst days are never so bad that we're beyond the reach of God's grace, and yet our best days, even in our evangelism, are never so good that we are beyond the need of God's grace. And so when we always see that we are totally reliant and in need of God, not just to save us from our sins, but even in our lives as Christians, that it should take away any sort of self-righteousness that we have. And that is what Jesus was adamantly against within the Gospels, always calling out the Pharisees for believing that they are somehow better than those around them, when in reality, we are, as you said, brother, beggars pointing other beggars to the food, which is Christ.
Amen. And let's see here. We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who asks, can you tell us what, or should I say, who your favorite evangelists are, both from the past and the present?
It's a great question. If I can't use biblical figures for my answer, George Whitfield is one who I've always appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
But my two heroes, Brian Nine, I know I have said he's a friend and a peer and we serve together, but he is truly one who has not only discipled me individually in my walk with the Lord, but is one of the greatest examples of one who's so faithful at proclaiming the gospel of Christ. If I had to pick a semi-modern example, I think Jim Elliot is another one. I know he served more in the missionary context, but just the I think it was quote, he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And so I think it's good to learn from the lives of other believers and Christians throughout the world, because it shows us that they've gone through the same discouragements and fears that we have, and yet God was still faithful to them. And even as he promises in his word, he will be faithful to us as his children, as long as we are seeking to do his will in our evangelism.
Well, since you brought up George Whitfield, I just wanted to recommend to our audience, if you type in the search engine of ironsharpensironradio.com, if you type in Whitfield, and by the way, it's spelled as if it is pronounced Whitefield, Whitefield, but it's pronounced Whitfield, in spite of how it's spelled. A number of interviews that I have conducted over the years will come up, including the recent interview I had with Jonathan Blair, the actor who portrayed George Whitfield in the film A Great Awakening, and also Joshua Enck, E-N-C-K, who was the producer of this film. I interviewed these brethren along with my dear friend Pastor Kurt M. Smith, who is a biographer of Whitfield. And I thought it was an excellent interview. In fact, I've interviewed Brother Kurt M. Smith on other occasions on his book, Thundering the Word, The Awakening Ministry of George Whitfield. About 6 years ago, I interviewed Kurt on that book. And I've also interviewed my dear friend who is now in heaven, Roger Salter, a thoroughly reformed and biblical Anglican minister in Birmingham, Alabama, who went home to be with the Lord less than a year ago, I believe. And one of his favorite heroes of the faith was George Whitfield. And you can hear what Roger Salter rector of St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama. You can hear what he had to say about George Whitefield as well. But we are going to go right now to our final break. And if you would also like to join the conversation with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Please don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world.
Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favourite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of himself.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi,
president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
And I want to thank the publishers of the New American Standard Bible, nasbible.com, once again for renewing their advertising contract and sponsorship for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They have been with me for decades, even before I launched Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were sponsoring major events that I hosted, including debates that I arranged and moderated and hosted, featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and Roman Catholic opponents and opponents who were representing cults and other false worldviews. And NASBible.com was always there behind me sponsoring these events and still sponsoring my show to this day. So please, as the ad says, if you are in a position of authority in your church where you can at least aid in the decision to replace your pew Bibles with the NASB, please go to nasbible.com, nasbible.com, and order your Bibles and make sure you tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to thank my longtime dear friend since 1991, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, who is also a dear brother in Christ. He is co-sponsor of this show. And if you are ever the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my very dear friend, Dan Buttafuoco, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. And please make sure you tell Dan Buttafuoco that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to remind all listeners who are men in ministry leadership, you are invited to my next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon on Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. I am featuring for the very first time as my keynote speaker, Dr. David A. Harrell, pastor of Calvary Bible Church in Joelton, Tennessee, and the author of a number of books, including the book from which he will be delivering his keynote address, Why America Hates Biblical Christianity. That's Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Everything is free of charge, including the heavy sacks of free brand new books personally selected by me and generously donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. Everything is free of charge. So if you'd like to register, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Please give me your full name, the full name of your church or parachurch ministry, its location, and the number of men who will be joining you. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And if you would like to submit a question to my guest, Heath Shaner, before we run out of time, Heath Shaner of heartsforthelost.com. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Let's see here. We have Terry in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And Terry says, what do you make of the common evangelistic phrase by perhaps most Christians that Jesus loves you and died for you? That's an excellent question. I don't know if the listener knew that we, as Calvinists, would not approve of that commonly used phrase. Would you agree? I'm assuming you do. That you, since you are Reformed, that we are never, as Christians, to tell lost people and people that we don't even know, Jesus loves you and died for you. That's a statement that is reserved only for the body of Christ, the people that we are convinced are saved. Am I right?
Yes, brother. Amen.
Because, I mean, number one, by saying that, you are, I think, stating a falsehood if it's a person that will wind up in hell. But it also, I think, could lead to people not sensing an urgency to repent, because if you're being told over and over again that Jesus loves you and died for you, and paid for your sins, well, what do you have to worry about? I mean, it absolutely makes no sense for evangelicals who actually believe that hell exists to tell people Jesus loves you and died for you and paid for your sins. Isn't that nonsensical?
Yeah, brother, I completely agree. And I, like you said, it takes away from the urgency of needing to trust or to see their need for Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it also takes away from the charge to share the biblical gospel, like we said earlier, just like the phrase, just we got to let our light shine, or if gospel. Just proclaim the gospel by our actions and if possible use words. And I'm reminded of the quote of Charles Spurgeon of the attitude that we should have in evangelism, where he says, if sinners be damned, at least they leap into hell over our dead bodies, and if they perish, let them perish with their arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our excursions, and let not one go unwarned and unprayed for. And in that, as it relates to that statement, like you said, brother, it takes away from not only the severity of needing to share Christ, but also the holiness of God, in that God hates sin. And as it says in the Psalms, he has righteous indignation against sin all the time. And that is why he sent his son to save us from our sins, and then it's those who trust in him that he saves.
Right. And I remember years ago hearing a friend of mine, and it's amazing that we have maintained a friendship for decades, but he is a vehement anti-Calvinist. He is an independent fundamentalist Baptist pastor. He used to have a radio show in New York on a station that I worked for, and I heard him one day angrily shouting that those Calvinists don't even believe that Jesus died for the lost. And I challenged him on that. I said, you know, Calvinists believe that those for whom Christ died are more lost than you believe they are. Now, if you had said, Calvinists don't believe that Jesus died for all the lost, that would be true. But just making a blanket statement that Jesus that we believe Jesus didn't die for the lost is a slander. And we do believe and can rightly declare Jesus died for sinners, and Jesus loves sinners and died as a substitute for them, but not bringing up specific individuals, including the ones we're evangelizing, because we don't know if they are one of those for whom Christ died. Am I making sense there?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, brother. And like we said earlier, when gauging fruit in our evangelism, our understanding of God and his holiness, and obviously in a Reformed perspective, we believe that we are sinners and that we do need the grace of God, and that it's, even as Jesus says, that his sheep will hear his voice, right? And so it's those whom Christ died for, the ones whom he, part of the Church of God, Acts 20:28, that he loved and gave himself for.
And why don't you, for several minutes, conclude the show with what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners after this program is over?
Yeah, well, I've spoken, and you have spoken on the gospel a little bit in this episode and in this radio show. And I want to just reiterate the just glorious nature of God, and that he has provided a means in which we can be saved, and that we've all, like sheep, gone astray. We've all gone our own way. And yet Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came to earth, and he lived the life that I could never live. He lived the life that Mr. Arnzen could never live, and he lived the life that you, the listener, could never live. And that Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross. His life wasn't taken from him. He laid it down. And that by his wounds, we can be healed. And that by trusting, as many of the other advertisers and pastors from all around the world expressed, that by trusting in Jesus Christ alone, not trusting in the fact that we can keep the Ten Commandments, because we can't, because James tells us even if we've kept them all but failed even once, we are guilty. Not by our church attendance or our zeal or being born into a Christian home. None of those means are the means which we can be saved. The only means by which we can be saved is by trusting in Jesus Christ, and that he paid the debt that we owe, and that by him rising from the dead, so will we, when we die, can stand before him and be received as God's child. And that is the only hope and means we have, is that hymn says, no list of sins I have not done, no list of virtues I pursue, can we be saved. It's only by beholding and turning our eyes to Jesus Christ, or as the Apostle Paul said, the one who gave himself for the church, Ephesians 5:25.
Amen. Hallelujah. And when you mentioned that being born and raised in a Christian home does not guarantee anyone's salvation, it reminded me of an old saying that is actually a true saying, unlike many of the old sayings that are a part of Christian vocabulary. But it is very true that God has no grandchildren. You can't count on the fact that your parents are Christians to have confidence that you are, and that you were raised in a Christian home and so on. That is not going to pave the way to heaven for you. Well, I want to make sure that we repeat the websites that are necessary. First of all, the Hearts for the Lost Ministry website is heartsforthelost.com, heartsforthelost.com, and the Cornerstone Bible Church of Dover, Pennsylvania, can be found at cbcdoverpa.org. CBC for Cornerstone Bible Church, DoverPA.org. I want to thank you, Heath, for being such an excellent guest. And I want to remind our listeners, please tune in tomorrow for my interview with Virgil Walker and Justin Peters on the fall of G3 Ministries. And as always, I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.